Welcome back to another episode of 5 a.m. Theology. Chris, we so often hear people say that Calvinists, like we are, don't believe in evangelism because we believe God is sovereign over salvation. And I don't know how many times we have to defend this, and others defend it, that nothing could be further from the truth. Calvinists are Reformed, and Reformed theology is biblical theology. Charles Spurgeon said, Reformed theology is just a nickname for biblical Christianity.
Yeah, Alistair Begg said that too.
Yeah. So all that means is that we believe the Bible to be the inerrant, divinely inspired word of God, and we put ourselves completely under the authority of Scripture. This week, we're still in the book of Jeremiah. It's a long book. And I was reminded of how important evangelism is when I got to Jeremiah 26, verses 1 to 3.
I'll read it. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship in the house of the Lord, all the words I command you to speak to them. Do not hold back a word. It may be they will listen and everyone turn from his evil way, that I may relent of the disaster that I intend to do to them because of their evil deeds. Jeremiah goes on to tell them the consequences of not heeding the word of God and not turning to him. The same consequences that people face today, hell and damnation. And when many of the people and the priests heard this, they wanted to kill Jeremiah.
Yeah, and it wasn't like Jeremiah was giving some new message, even at that point. Going back to the time of Moses, God lifted up prophets to preach the gospel to people, and it was often met with hostility. Now, in the Old Testament, the gospel message was the same as it is in the New Testament, but it was just a little bit different in the last part. People were told to put their faith in what God was going to do to save them in the coming Messiah. And of course, we witness what God has already done to save his people in Jesus.
Yeah, the gospel message may have been slightly different, but throughout the Old and New Testament, people were told to evangelize. Jesus's last words on earth, as we see in Mark, were, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Now, the book of Acts is all about the start of the church and the apostles and the other disciples spreading the gospel message. Paul's epistles are loaded with the gospel message.
Yeah. And I was thinking about why all of Scripture commands us to preach the gospel. And of course, the easy and accurate answer is because God commands us. Like you just said, Jesus commanded it. But I think it goes deeper than that. I came up with this acronym to help me remember why we need to witness the gospel and why God allows us to witness the gospel. And the acronym is REACH, R-E-A-C-H, and kind of appropriate. So the R in the beginning stands for rejoicing. And one reason God commands us to witness the gospel goes along with the follow-up line in Jeremiah passage, the one that you read, when he says, it may be they will listen and everyone turn from his evil way, that I may relent of the disaster that I intend to do because of their evil deeds. When we witness to someone and that person comes to Christ, that's a reason for us to rejoice.
Yeah, because they're not going to have to deal with those consequences because Christ has done it for them. They realize they're dead in sinful state and they turn to Christ. And they're no longer under God's wrath. That is definitely a reason to rejoice. That makes me think of Jesus's word when he tells them the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15. He says, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next letter in the acronym REACH is E. So Chris, I'll tell you this, it stands for eternal. So you think you can expound on that?
Sure. You know, our witnessing God's word to people, this isn't just something for here and now. It has eternal implications. And it has implications for the person we're witnessing to and for us. Jesus said in John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So whether or not a person accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior determines where they're going to spend eternity. And for us, Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:20, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. So faithfully witnessing truth in God's word is definitely a treasure for us to store up in heaven that will last for eternity. And Rose, this also makes me think of the steward, the bad steward story, and how at the end of that, we see Jesus saying, you know, talking about people waiting for you in heaven that you've witnessed to.
Yeah, that's great. I could not have said that better myself. Okay, so I thought the A in reach could stand for allow. Although God doesn't need us to save anyone, he allows us to be part of the process. I don't think many of us really think about what a privilege and a blessing that is. This made me think of, you know, when my kids were little and we had a big project and my husband and I let the kids help. We didn't really need their help. In fact, sometimes they were more of a hindrance than a help. But when we saw their face, when we were done the project, you know, when it was all finished and they knew that they contributed, their facial expression was priceless. They were so excited. And I think that's a lot like God allowing us to be part of bringing someone to Christ. I don't doubt for a minute that sometimes we're more of a hindrance than a help, but he still allows us. And the excitement is really priceless when we're a part of it.
It really is. And that's a great analogy because it is more work for us to have our kids help, but you know, the excitement on the faces is definitely worth it. And when you know that you helped bring someone, I mean, that's exciting.
Yeah,
it really doesn't get much more exciting. Yeah. All right. So according to your acronym, the next letter is C. And I have a feeling I know what that C stands for because it's something God's worked on and is still working on for both of us. And that is compassion.
You know me so well.
I know myself so well. We always say that understanding what an unbeliever's fate is going to be should break our hearts. And it should make us compassionate towards them. And that's tough sometimes, depending on, you know, who they are. I try to think of compassion for unbelievers this way. And I know you do too. If we found a doctor who cured us of the most incredible, uncurable disease, and then we met someone who had the same disease, wouldn't we want to point them to that doctor?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at compassion. Okay, so the last letter is H, and H is for humble. We might not think witnessing the gospel to people would keep us humble, but it definitely does. I mean, since God is completely sovereign over salvation, it would be easy to just say, God's going to save who he's going to save. My witnessing, my warning, my teaching isn't going to change that, especially considering the latter part of that Jeremiah verse where people didn't react well and they wanted to kill him because of his message. No different than today. But all of this is exactly what makes us humble. When we witness, we're completely reliant on God. We know the acceptance of our message really has nothing to do with us, but it has to do with the one who sent us. When someone we're witnessing to does come to Christ, we need to give the glory to God because that's where it all belongs. We can be thankful, and we should, that we were part of it, but we didn't really have anything to do with it.
No, we didn't. And preaching the gospel to yourself also humbles you. So,
yeah, absolutely. Good point.
So I just thought of something else, Rose. If we added a B to the beginning of your acronym, standing for because like we said earlier, we preach the gospel because God commands us to, then the acronym becomes breach. Not preaching the gospel is a breach in our obedience to God. Throughout the book of Jeremiah, people, priests, and even kings wanted to kill him because he preached God's truth, but he never stopped. He was obedient to God to the end, even following a bunch of Judahites who were disobeying God and going to Egypt when the Babylonians invaded. It was something God specifically told them not to do.
Yeah, you're right. Jeremiah died either on the way to Egypt or in Egypt. Up until the very end of his life, he tried to witness the gospel to unbelievers. He literally gave his life for it. And that should really convict us that God asking us to tell those around us about Jesus isn't really such a big ask.
No, it's not. And that's a good place to end this morning. Have a blessed morning, everybody.